Father, we receive you. We receive you. We love you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you make yourself known to us. We can't do this alone. There's no fight too big for you. You're not worried. You're not afraid. You're not anxious. There are no nightmares in you. Lord, your love is the key. Your love is the answer. Your ways, your solutions to all things. God, we pray that you keep invading our hearts, that your manifest presence will show up more and more in our minds, in our hearts, in our wills, in our thinking, in our mouths, everywhere, God. At the end of the day, all we take to heaven is you. And the only thing that we hold fast to are the souls that you allow us to influence for you. Thank you, Jesus. Let us not forget that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Who will ascend to my holy mountain? Those with clean hands and pure hearts. Clean hands, pure hearts, repentance, purity, holiness. Don't be fooled, beloved. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Thank you, Lord. We ascend to your holy mountain today. And we receive you, God. We receive you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When we worship the Lord this way, we're doing what we were created to do. We're worshipers, Jesus. We're worshipers. We give you glory. Lord, when we worship you, we go low before you, God. That humility would be our highest goal, real humility. And the only thing that gets in the way is pride, not our circumstances, not what's happened to us. All those things are factors in our journey. But Lord, you're looking at the reality of who you are to us, how we can see you, how we can receive you. We celebrate you this morning, Jesus, in the midst of trial and pain, in the midst of all kinds of things that every one of us has been feeling to whatever degree or thinking to whatever degree, particularly in this last week. At the end of the day, you're on the throne. You are not worried. You are not fearful. You are whole, and you are the answer. You. You. You're our solution. We can't legislate you. It doesn't work. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just let his beautiful heart just wash through each heart in here. Just wash us. Wash us clean from judgment right now. Wash us clean from finger pointing. Wash us clean from our opinions. Wash us clean from our own opinions. They just don't hold weight in heaven unless they match up with Jesus's. They just don't hold any weight. Wash us clean, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes. That we would not be part of the blind leading the blind. Thank you for your light. Thank you that you are light. And you call us to be light, to invade the darkness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Give us the long view, Jesus. Give us your eyes to see what you're saying and doing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We've had quite a week. Yesterday was a phenomenal day, and many of you, if I don't know how many, but most or many of you were here, and others maybe who were here yesterday weren't able to be here this morning. But we do have some pictures. I haven't seen them. We're going to show them just to give glory to God, to help us to help us remember our place in the Spirit, to help us remember who we are to Him, and to celebrate what He has done, because we're on a journey together, and we're going to be in heaven with all our brothers and sisters, amen, in Jesus, and we want to take as many with us when we go. How simple. Yeah, our core value, Jesus, boom. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to show some of those. Thanks, worship team. That was awesome. Pastor Bill's got a great message for this morning. Thank you. It's rolling down. I just want to show some of these pictures before he has the message that God gave him. I'm sure it's awesome. How many of you were here and heard, because I know people came and went yesterday, when Pastor Bill was reading Pastor Israel Benjamin's, we're being recorded, right? Good. As Pastor Israel Benjamin's, you know who that is, in Southeast Asia, read his letter to us. Did you hear it? Because I don't know who comes and goes, honestly. I'm just a blur of people, loving people. Some of you heard it? Just a few? Okay. Oh, maybe we need to reread it. Maybe we'll do that. To set a tone. How many of you think that Pastor Benjamin Israel is a, we're going to show pictures, kids, so we're coming, that he's a major player in the end time look at human trafficking? Anybody think that? Maybe not sure, like, I don't know. Well, many of us believe that he is. Many of us believe that he has a lot to say. He's experienced a lot, and he's been, I would say you could honestly say that as far as the suffering that he's gone through, he's been traumatized to the max, where his life was, only Jesus saved his life numerous times, because he was tortured. You know, and you guys can explain that to kids later, I'm not going to, for his faith in Jesus. And I just want to read you, I don't even know if I have it here. Does anybody have it? Can you get it really quickly? You have it handy? Okay, we'll read it really quickly. And the reason what is because I just have an impression from Jesus to do it. didn't come in with that at all. I just really feel it's important to just kind of set a tone for where we're going in the area of fighting against human trafficking, fighting the war. Which we are. We're fighting the war for Jesus. It's his war, but we're his foot soldiers, right? And we have to keep focused on our place and how we can become even more influencers. So that's what's our job. We have to influence. We have to become generals in the faith. Honestly, all of us, I kept looking at the little ones this morning thinking, wow, these guys get to face things in 5, 10, 20, 30 years that none of us have faced or might ever face. And so it's up to us to set the tone for them so that they can follow and they can emulate how mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and others are really walking out Jesus. It's very important, especially in the light of suicides and other things, which you can talk about with kids later, what that would look like, because they're going to hear it if they haven't. So, and other areas of atrocity. So you'll have to decide how you sensitively handle that with your kiddos. So very important right now, because it's right around us. And if we respond in fear, because we have places of fear inside of us that can connect with that, that's not going to be the best case scenario. That's not a win-win. So our goal is to ascend to the holy mountain with pure hands, clean heart. Clean heart, pure hands. Amen. Thanks, Rachie. Thank you. Do you want to read it, love? Because you read it yesterday? No? Me? Okay. Read this really quick. All right. It was his voice, but it was really good. And I think it's important to have also for those who couldn't be here today, and some of them like to listen to the message. So, you know, it's good to have it there. Pastor Israel Benjamin update, one page. Let me read it. Now listen with your spiritual ears and heart. Okay, and then we're going to show the pictures from the amazing day that I'm so excited about. he uses the word terrible in the first sentence, not in the way that we understand terrible. Terrible to him is, it's like the terrible day, sorry, babe, terrible day of the Lord, you know, in Scripture. Jesus is not going, ah. Terrible means like, whoa, intense, really intense. That's what is meant, because he's nothing but positive in the midst of persecution. So he says, since 2013, it has been a terrible journey of persecution, which lasted for 3 years. Okay, and maybe you guys could talk about this with your kids later, so if they don't catch it all, or grandkids, that would be awesome. But now notice the tone where his focus is. But in the midst of this entire crisis, God gave amazing grace and guidance. Jesus led us all like a shepherd. Especially the children were moved to safe places in different parts. Now, these are all the children who had been rescued out of the atrocities of human trafficking. And because of our little ones, you can run with that. You, if you're in this house, you've been part of us, you know what that means. Many older children got lost and confused and did have a very hard time in the initial years of persecution. But in each specific case, we saw the great and amazing works of God in the deep sea. There, each step was guided by Jesus, and most of the children didn't have anyone to depend on. These are little children, the ages of our kiddos here. Okay, we've met many of them, know them. We met them all, actually, the ones we were there right before the big raids. As most of the children did not have anyone to depend on, they became vulnerable. For years, they had lived in the safety net of GRM, and you have to figure out what that is. But God is a father to the fatherless. After some time, we could move hundreds of smaller children to a safe location where they continued to receive education, love, and care. They moved. How did he do that? He was in prison. Come on, listen, think. Think about the dates. When he went to prison, it was March 2013. I'm just blown away when I think of this. The staff stood strongly, even though many were falsely accused of child trafficking. God also gave miraculous provision, which could come from above alone. Many local villagers in the region joined hands together to help the children and at the same time protect them from child trafficking rings. Fast forward, Lawrence Township, Jackson Township, Perry Township, Plain Township. Think about it. I think just the Lord's always giving us messages, trying to open our hearts to see through what's going on in the world. Not to say, you're going to go through just this. That's not what I'm saying. Saying we need to learn from these challenging times how best to think and move, you know, for our circumstances. Although we are now working in a low profile due to the continued threat perceptions, the work continues to expand to newer locations. And we continue to save children in distress and slavery and give them a new hope and life in Christ. The work has now expanded deeper into Nepal and other places in Myanmar and East India. And today, more than 500 children continue to be helped with a life of hope, freedom, dignity, and most importantly, a life secured and anchored in Jesus. Let me read that again. And today, more than 500 children continue to be helped with a life of hope, freedom, dignity, and most importantly, a life secured and anchored in Jesus. Schools continue to provide education. 22 full-time staff now take care of the children. Many children who were rescued years ago now work also as staff. Huh. And a group of them have started rescue missions under our guidance. They have a great heart and zeal to work for Jesus. Now, as I am out of prison, things have improved. I just... 78 older children have now completed their studies and are now working. Few are in business. Two multinational companies involved in manufacturing electronic items are owned by born-again believers. They absorbed into their manufacturing hubs a total of 35 of the older children. I met up with all who graduated and also our children studying in college and built them back up again with the Lord's leading. Many also got married during this time. Now remember what these little children were rescued out of. Remember that. And I'm not going to say it, so you can be as graphic as you want with your kiddos. The testimonies of children during the past times are so amazing and powerful. They stood strong during all this time. Before I read the last paragraph, I want you to know that in the midst of threat, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of the greatest fear you can imagine, and I'm going to use some of the phrases that we heard yesterday, which are real. I'm not denying them, and I'm not scoffing at them, okay? But in the midst of triggers, in the midst of trauma, okay, I'm with you on this. These children were faced. What do you think they were faced with when everything was taken away and they were taken by force and then secluded again for another 7 months before they were thrown out to more wolves? And these wolves actually videotaped the children standing for Jesus, and they wouldn't cave. Think about that. This is all to glory to Jesus, right? All right, here's the closing. God is so faithful. He is who he is. He is faithful to the core. It is his children. It is his work. We are only but servants. It is he who carries us, and he carries the lambs close to his bosom. Persecution always spawns growth. Persecution, it's here, and it's going to grow, guys. Oh, persecution always spawns growth. It cannot stop the Lord's work. Jesus never said that the gates of hell will not rise. The gates of hell will rise and try to hinder the rescue and redemption of children, but they cannot prevail against us. Pastor Israel Benjamin, I am not going to spend any more time, so my husband has the time to give what God gave him to give, but I am asking that you would consider these words as something that the Lord gave to us yesterday morning. Well, it would be the day before, 3 a.m. they came, edited, for this time. So I know that God's doing something very large, and he's saying, keep your focus. You're not mainstream in your thinking and believing. Mainstream is maybe a little different. God says radical is Jesus. We sang it up here, the radical, overwhelming love of God, if that was how it went. At least that's what I sang. So it's radical, right? So we're going to have to apply, receive and apply radical thinking, radical emotional response, spiritual, emotional, spiritually charged responses that involve emotions, radical in our will and in our decision making. It's got to be laced in this radical place of Jesus to be the most effective, so we can pass all these love tests. And that sounds like God's law, legalistic in law. No, he's not legalistic and law oriented. But these are opportunities. Tests are opportunities to say, where am I? Where am I? Where am I? When I want to go, phew. And the enemy says, no, you don't. You go this way. And he throws things in our minds and wills, and our emotions respond. Instead of, Holy Spirit, Jesus, you are the fire of God with clean hands and a pure heart. I ascend to your mountain and I get my answer. Because I'm not going to take the convenient road. I'm not going to take the easy fix. I'm going to remember who you are. And I'm going to get your answer. And it might cost me something. And I think we owe it to Jesus to pay attention to what he's doing in different places as well as here. Not just say, well, that's Southeast Asia. No. Listen. And listen to the testimony. And Pastor Benjamin wrote this from the hospital because he was re-injured again from something that had been healing when he was deeply persecuted in prison. He's supposed to be doing an outreach in Central India, right, Pastor Israel Benjamin? He's supposed to be doing a Central India outreach. But you know what he said to me this week? He said, it's okay. I'll just come out with more gusto. With more gusto, I'm going to believe for a massive release of souls into the kingdom after this. And he sends me a picture that he's in the hospital. It's like he wasn't laughing. But I said, so how's the pain level? Oh, nothing like it was in prison. So glory to God. It's like, how do you get there, God? Through persecution. Oh, any other way? I don't know. But we're in really challenging times for us right here. Amen? So we need to be thinking about how low do we want to go with Jesus. And that's not groveling, that's just saying, here I am, you've got me. Here I am, you've got me. When Billy Graham was a young guy, and he passed this week too, when he was a real young guy, he was on the golf course, and he'd been wrestling with Jesus. And he finally said, with no bells going ding, you know, there was no lightning in heaven or anything like that, and he said, you've got my life. Here I am. You've got it. And that means every decision, every emotion, every feeling. It's like, whoa, that touched me. That was in the paper too, along with all the statistics about everything else that's going on and all the trauma. Be careful what you put on Facebook. Don't add to the trauma, guys. Honestly, I'm saying that here to our family because we're doing it. So let's not be part of the problem of fear. So, you know, ask yourself about that. Be careful of that because there's fear everywhere. What's the message? Is it yours? Oh, he was here in the conference? He came to free. What? What's the message, Jesus? Well, I'm not touching that one, so in any way. His name, he lives in the trees. God bless him. Now, what if this guy, oh, I got to let him preach. I have something to say about that. But what if he was bigger and had a long tail? Would we be up here like, ah? Or he had something else? I mean, let's think about this. That is a really good word picture. Think about that with Jesus. That's all I can say. And we're all laughing. Praise the name of Jesus. Because we know that he is limited. He's under our feet. Where's Carl? Is he here? He's like, he always likes to take care of our friends. That was right before you're speaking. That is perfect. Run with that one. Have fun. But ask the Lord. And I bet you guys that seriously, that your kids will have something to say because they're really spiritual. Think about this. Think about that message. Why is that happening now? To break the seriousness of this? No. I don't think so. But to keep us in a place of joy, but also there is a message here. Think on it. We'll talk again. But anyhow, just to wrap it up, yesterday was absolutely amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And I've talked to only one of our beautiful guests yesterday speaking, and I have some calls in, or one call into another. And I just want to share one thing to close here, to put the pictures up, hon, but wait before we click. But I have this, and I want anyone who works with young people, particularly, okay, I got this from Suzanne Lewis Johnson, the FBI agent who was here. She's amazing, good friend. This says, my help and my shield, my hope. And it glows in the dark. So yesterday when I was in the bathroom last night, it's like, oh, yeah, that works. But anyway, this kid, ninth grade, 14-year-old girl. Sophomore? Oh, I thought she was, okay, sophomore. Staying corrected. Tenth grade, 14-year-old girl, Suzanne Lewis Johnson, FBI agent's daughter, apart from her mom or dad, okay, they live in Jackson, they go to church up north somewhere, and she felt with her friends on her heart that because of some recent, there was a suicide at Jackson, some recent things, you know, not minimizing any of this is like big league trauma. If Jesus stops for the 90, stops for the one and leaves the 99, he cares. But he's saying, pay attention to me because I'm going to use you as my foot soldiers and as my kids who have answers from heaven for me, from me. And so this young girl went and bought 300 of these, 300, and ordered them kind of unbeknownst to her mom. I mean, I'm not sure exactly where her mom came in, but she said, I didn't have anything to do with this. And so we were standing right here, and she took it off. It was the last one. It was on her wrist. She goes, here, take this. I want you to have it. I said, oh, cool. Yes, thank you. I'm so excited. And we told her about Impact, and, you know, it's a long story about how Darcy fit into that. I'm not going to go into it, but Impact Jackson, it's like, whoa, this girl has friends. This girl has guts. This girl has something going on from Jesus. This girl is marked. I mean, who does that? And you know when these came? The day before the Tuesday grueling day at Jackson Middle School. They came to the high school. She passed them out. And the people are walking around with these. And some of the kids at the middle school got some. And they ordered, or they're ordering, or ordered another 1,000. Huh? What? 500 already? 2,000 more. Boy, I got these stats off. I'm sorry. I thought 1,000. Maybe they're in two shipments. So there are going to be a whole bunch of kids who are going to have these. So that's a total of 3,000, isn't it? So 3,000 of these? 2,800. It says, wait, my help and my shield, my hope. Come on. This is like, huh? And they're starting a GoFundMe, or she did a GoFundMe page, and her parents are like, I just want to get out of the way. I don't understand this. This is like, you know, different and good. So we were talking all about it, and I said, tell her about Impact. I will. When does it meet? All that. And then she met some of you, I think, yesterday. So I have a challenge for any of you who are involved in young adult ministry, whether it's at the colleges, whether it's at the you know, Jackson here, or here with the Edge. I know Sin and Lawrence oversee the Edge here. It's time. I think the Lord's saying, I'm going to expand. I'm getting you ready. And these kids need the kind of radical love that you carry, the kind of mature love that I want you to have. And they need to be grounded because they They haven't seen anything yet. Okay? And so that's my challenge to the leaders here, as well as the young ones here, younger ones. So that's my challenge to finish up. So please be talking to one another. We'll have some meetings and talking about that. It's time. More are going to be filtering in, because when you're perceived as someone who walks in love and courage, confidence, and faith, courage and faith, then people are going to gravitate. They're already doing it in the county. They're doing it because we're designed to carry that with Jesus. All right, let's finish. So with these pictures, can you flip the lights out? And how many do we have, guys, so we can wrap this up? 20, okay, there you go. 20, 2, 3, 4. There you are. Nice. Sherry McKinney France. She's from Children's Network. Judge Nist. Nice. Darcy Knight, Prosecutor's Office. Rachel Larson. Our new restaurant. That was amazing. Patty Hossettler, Hannah's House. So cool. That's Suzanne Lewis Johnson. Yeah, that's Tim Brown. No, that's Suzanne Lewis Johnson, FBI agent. Redemption for Life, you're awesome. That's somebody, I don't know who that is. Okay, some wild. Yeah, that's Alicia Lay from Rahab. Alicia Lay from Rahab. Tim Brown from up in Toledo, and he's a friend of the house. There we are. Yeah, Michelle. And Sherry left in the morning, so she couldn't be there. That's awesome. Thank you. And can I just give a heartfelt and grateful and deep thank you for those who gave of their time, their efforts, their money. Some really jumped in and lost sleep, lots of sleep at the end, especially pregnant people. Thank you, who weren't feeling well on top of it. But Rachel and others who were here, thank you. I'm not going to mention the whole church. No, she's not pregnant. Sure. So I'm not sure, but it's like, I break that off of you. It's like, she's pregnant people. Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's kind of like Chester. What is that his name, Chester? Chucky. I don't know, Chucky. Chuckles. That's so funny. Okay, I'm finished. Thank you very much. Thank you, Kim and your crew, for the new restaurant. And it was amazing. And Rachel White, too. Oh, I mean, it's really everybody in here. Thank you, guys. You are. Ashley. It was like I walked in and went, I'm not in the right place. Where am I? It was so nice. Not that it's not nice. It's just that it's new. New and clean and painted and bright, and we were able to have our first luncheon outside of being back here. So, and Andy, thank you, Andy. Kim, I said Kim. Who else? Andy. Shout out. Shout out the names. We'll say yes and amen for you guys. Teresa and Peter. Amen. Everybody who wants to, yay. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Kids, you're released to Kingdom Land. Bye.
All right. This isn't the first visitor we've had in the building. We've had a dog run through here before. We've had, wasn't it groundhogs? Joined a ladies' meeting. Bats. It's similar to the draw that Noah's Ark had. They come here. And they want in. Father, we thank you, God. You're so good. You're going to challenge us this morning. You're going to correct us. You're going to work in us, change us. Look at that. You changed the atmosphere. We're now listening to you, open, ready. Father, I present myself before you for you to search my heart, for you to show me what doesn't line up with heaven. Jesus, there's so much, but I can't run from it just because there's so much. I must run to you and say, yes, God, I present myself for you to change me. I present myself for you to take one of the members of my body that is so unruly and bring it into submission to your presence, to your power, to your spirit. Lord God, come in and do the impossible. Do what cannot be done in my own strength. God, I'm here before you. I want to worship you. I do want to adore you. But God, I must obey you in order for that to happen. I must receive from you to obey you. In my own strength, it's just boastful words. In your strength, change comes. I'm different. I look back and I see you've done it. You've done it, God. You've done it. Do it in each of us today, God. Release your power as we know you will. Help us to apply it, activate it inside of our hearts and our lives. Start with our heart. Start with our heart. Without you, our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Father, we can choose to allow them to be that even if we know you. We can choose to go backwards, to slide by rather than address what needs to be done in our lives and present ourselves before you. Today, I challenge us, Lord, before you, to stand before you, come before you, volunteer for correction, volunteer for change, volunteer to receive from you, to see in our lives fruit. Fruit. So much fruit that we can pass it out to others and they'll be changed. God, do in us what we can't do ourselves, but we welcome you to do it. We don't just stop at a statement. We activate your power to change us, God, by presenting ourselves before you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, I like that quiet atmosphere. It went from laughter, dogs, and chipmunks to... When we start talking about presenting ourselves before God, it should be rather sobering. It should kind of cause some awe within us. The Bible calls it fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is a good thing, by the way. It's a good fear. There is a good fear. And it's the fear of the Lord. Presenting ourselves before him and saying, you're in charge because I let you be in charge. We can be in charge. We're not overall in charge, but we can be in charge of our own life, our own little kingdom. What good is that? So that's why you're here today, to be challenged, changed, to actually be corrected. Whether you know that or not, that's what you volunteered for by walking through those doors. Because God sees it, and he says, okay, you're going to hear my word, then it has to change you. It must. It has to. It has to change me. When we come before the word of God, it must do what it does best, completely change the human experience. That's what we want from him, because his words are words of life. Oh, by the way, I have a passage on that. Proverbs 4. Go to the right marker. Proverbs 4, 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. 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 It's a key, you know, when I repeat it. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart, heart, heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you the deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Next chapter, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. And it goes on. We're supposed to pay attention to God's wisdom, God's words. Because from our heart flow the issues of life. Our heart is supposed to be the center of our being, right? It's kind of where our spirit was dead. And then when Christ came, our spirit was made alive. We go through life, and if we think that people have, everyone that we know has a spirit that's alive, we're wrong. Sometimes we give people way too much credit. We kind of think they're nice, so they're okay. If their spirit is dead, when my spirit was dead, you could look in my eyes and see they were dead. Eyes are the window to the soul. Eyes are window to the heart. They show that your spirit's dead. Your soul, mind, body, mind, will, and emotions. Your soul, mind, will, and emotions can be affected by an alive spirit or a dead spirit. When you see on Facebook all the posts, they're so emotional, and they're just, I'm being real. Their emotions can be in charge, right? And they speak out things. Actually, they write it on Facebook. But if you were in their presence and they were speaking it out, they would speak it out with a lot of emotions. People are getting a lot more real in what they write because they can do it anonymously. Be careful with that yourself. Don't use anonymous means to share your heart. Share your heart face-to-face, person-to-person. Okay, over the cell phone if you have to. But texting and emailing and posts on Facebook, they shouldn't contain, you know, all of your real emotions, because sometimes you can't explain what you're talking about. Our mind, will, and emotions should be filtered by our heart, a spirit that's alive, made alive by Holy Spirit, so that our mouth speaks life. If our spirit, influenced by Holy Spirit, made alive by Holy Spirit, doesn't filter our mind, will, and emotions, we don't always speak life, do we? We speak a lot of death. And so what we're going to do today, since yesterday was a pretty heavy day, those that were here, a lot of talking, you had to listen for a long time, and you came in this morning and you thought you were going to have to listen for a long time. Oh, no. Oh, no, it's elementary school today. It's Men Who Honor today, which we often break into small groups. So prepare your heart for that. And we're going to talk about, do you really want to say that? You really want to say that? And I put the really in capital letters. Do you really want to say that? Or do you want that filtered by the Holy Spirit that's made your heart, your spirit alive? That's why there are unfiltered things on all the outlets that we have in social media now. There's so many unfiltered things because they have no Holy Spirit in charge filtering them. And if Christians fall into that, that's really sad, because we have an umpire in our hearts that can tell us what's good to say and what's good not to say, what's good to post and what's good not to post. So our mind comes up with thoughts. They better be captured by Jesus. If they aren't, we're automatically going off course. Our will should be aligned with the will of heaven, will of the Father, like Jesus was aligned with the will of the Father. Your will on earth be done. Do we really want that? Of course we do. Yes, we do. Emotions, again, I mentioned those, mind, will, and emotions, they can just completely take over. They scream. Ah! I need to be heard. I need to be fed. Don't think about that right now. Emotions are stirred up, and man, they can come off the lips so quickly, can't they? Oh, now we're catching on. Some shaking heads now. We're down to it. We're getting to the nitty-gritty. Yeah, the emotions can just take over, and our mind goes somewhere, and our will decides, oh, let the emotions do it. I'm tired of holding it back, holding them back. But our heart, that spirit that's made alive by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, can be the filter. And we don't have to come out with everything in our thoughts out of our mouth, do we? In fact, Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12, 34b. Don't read 34a to see who he was talking about. Because we have enough trouble of our own, don't we? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That fits every category, but 24a, you don't want to be one of those kind of people. Don't even read it. Never read it. 24a. Just mark it out of your Bible. I know you'll all go to it now. So, the heart must be affected enough by the words of God, the presence of God, and the power of God that our words give life, not death. Isn't that true? If we just go by what we think, it's usually an opinion, and it does people very little good. All kinds of opinions all over the internet by self-anointed prophets and experts. But the Word of God is our expert. Jesus is our expert. And we sometimes jump in on these discussions as if people are going to really pay attention to truth. We even throw a Bible verse in, thinking they might pay attention to truth. Oh, if God leads you to do that, Holy Spirit leads you to do that. But if you just do that as a knee flex, you know, there's words, there's things in Proverbs that might cause you to say, maybe I shouldn't do that with a fool. I mean, someone on the social media that's not walking by the Spirit of God. There's a lot of things in this area of, do you really want to say that? Do you really want to text that? Do you really want to post that online? Do you really want to say that to a leader? Do you really want to say that to a fellow believer? Do you really want to say that to a wife or a husband? We have a long way to go, don't we? And that's what the prayer was about this morning. It led that way. It took off that way. Present ourselves before the Lord. Let him search us again. Is there ever a time when that searching should stop? The answer is, well, you know. No. Never. It's a constant battle. You say, well, I give up. It's just too much. Don't give up. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You have no excuse. You can't get to heaven and say to God, I gave up because it was, all this searching, then you find things, and I'm supposed to, you know, obey those things that are good, and I'm not doing very well, so I just gave up. He's not going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. He's going to do that if we battle through, isn't he? He's going to do that when we rely on Jesus, when we say, yes, I can change in areas that have never changed in me. My words need to change to become more words of life. My words need to be like your words, Father. And he can do it in us. So in this passage in Proverbs, I'll read it again. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Here they are. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. So our words are part of the issues of life. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Well, that could have to do with desires, or maybe you would put a different label on it. Things you see. If you get so involved in those, so attracted to those, you won't be attracted as much to Jesus. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Those are the issues of life and what we do. So what we say, what we desire, what we do all have to do with our heart. And the only one we're going to talk about today is words. So you only get hit with one part of it. Only one challenge. That's not so bad. It's all of life. It's everything we are and we do. Well, we're just going to talk about the words today. That's a big enough challenge, isn't it? Something to chew on, something to go after. As I was looking for other verses, I found this, Proverbs 25:28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. How many feel like sometimes things are just out of control? I don't have any charge over my own spirit because I'm not really obeying Holy Spirit. Sure, we all feel that way. But this is a new day. He's going to bring new power. He's going to bring new strength to us as we receive it. He's bringing new revelation to the earth as we speak. This is the day. This is the best day to live in any of history is right now, because he's releasing prophetic things on the earth, things out of Acts 2, Joel 2, new experiences and encounters with him that were to be released in the final days, and it is time. You can see it. You can hear it. Open your eyes, you'll see. Open your ears, you'll hear what the Spirit of God is doing in all of us if we're open to it. Well, then our words have to change to line up with that. Our daily words. Not the words when we get on the microphone in front of people. Those words in the secret places. Secret conversations. What's said behind closed doors. What's said to the friend we trust who will never say it to anyone else. Those things need to be purified by going through our spirit, which has been made alive by the Holy Spirit. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I picked a video to make it very clear. It's based on Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Or death and life are in the power of the tongue. So let's see if we can watch that.
Thank you. words have the power of a life and death behind them. And that's why I try and use my words to bring and give life, to communicate the love I have for myself and for the world. My thoughts may run crazy. I may have, and I do have, lots of crazy thoughts. My chance to act on my thoughts comes most easily from what I say. I can think bad things, and I can think good things. And the words I choose to speak are my chance to exercise my choice of which thoughts I bring to life and which thoughts I allow to die, to slip away and to fade. I've had a lot of thoughts this morning, many positive, many negative. And thankfully, I have a lot of healthy routines that have kept me out of being in the majority of the negative this morning. That said, I've still had plenty of negative thoughts. And these are some of the first words I've said today. These are some of the first words that I've communicated. These are some of the first words that I've actually acted on out of my thoughts. And I try and bring loving, positive, happy thoughts and words into existence.
James chapter 3, verse 8. James has the picture of a snake in his mind when he talks about the tongue. And listen to this. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And the first thing I want you to notice, he says, the tongue can no man tame. That word tame was a particular word which was used to describe the taming of wild and ferocious beasts. For instance, it's the very word we would use to describe the taming of a lion, or the taming of a tiger, or the taming of a bear, a wild, ferocious beast. And what's really interesting, it's the same word we find over in Mark chapter 5 and verse 4 when the Bible describes the demoniac of Gadara. And the Bible says this man was so demonized that no man could tame him. It is exactly the same word. This was a man that could not be tamed, which implies that those that had tried to help this demoniac had brought in wild animal tamers. And people that were successful with bears and lions and tigers and the most ferocious of beasts who could domesticate them and turn them into pets. They had no success with this man that was demon-possessed. No man could domesticate him. No man could bring him under control. No man could tame him. Now, the very same phrase is used here in James 3, verse 8, to describe your tongue and my tongue. But the tongue can no man tame. Our tongue is just as wild, just as uncontrollable as the demoniac of Gadara. Nobody could tame him, and nobody can tame the tongue. Think of the times that you have sat in a chair in the middle of a conversation and you said to yourself, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. And all of a sudden, bam, you said it. Oh. After you told yourself you weren't going to say it, why? Because the tongue is so hard to tame. In fact, look what the rest of the verse says. It says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison.
I can't stand her.
Can't you move any faster?
Her cooking makes me sick.
Can't the weatherman ever get it right?
I really hate politicians.
This is ridiculous. Get out of the way.
I come home from a long day at work, and the house is a wreck.
It's called deodorant.
How hard is your job?
Mind your own business.
I'm defriending him on Facebook.
I hate to mow the lawn.
Epic failure.
She stinks at her job. They should just fire her.
I can't believe my kids never listen to me.
My parents never let me do anything. All my friends get to do it.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits.
Okay, so this gives the problem. No solution. Whole video, 5 whole minutes. You can't tame the tongue. That's the conclusion. So we know that the power to tame the tongue is, yes, we can't do it, but God can through us. He can do it. He can change us. So what I find in the body of Christ is we often stop with the problem. We say, well, no one can tame the tongue. You know, nobody's perfect. And we have all these phrases to cover over moving to the next step, being empowered by God to change in our words so that we are giving out life, 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 like Jesus. And so we don't have to put on a robe and walk around only speaking the words of the Bible. We can speak naturally and use concepts of the Bible in what we say, and even use Bible verses at times when they apply in what we say, and be very powerful in giving out life. That's what the goal is today, to have some more life. Well, you have to repent of dead things to get more alive. You ever, you know, skin on a snake. He leaves it behind, he crawls out of it, and he's a new snake. Sheds the skin. And there are other things like that in nature. They come into something better. They leave the dead things behind, and they come into something better. And so that's what we're looking for today. So not to take up too much more time, but we're going to give out a couple of sheets. Actually, one is a packet of sheets. You will choose two people and be observant as to the fact that some in here may have never been here to do anything like we've done this before, and it's been a while. Make sure you include those folks that may not just run to a group. You know, take two of you and then go find someone that may be new. You'll have a number of Bible verses that you're given. Some of them are written out. Some of them are just the references. I would point a person in the group to kind of be the leader, to run the show, you know, run your life if you really want. And, well, if you're having troubles, maybe, you know, let them run your life. No, so let them kind of direct things, but, you know, to speed it up, kind of he or she will give out verses to you to find or read or come up with a thought on or whatever. I would suggest that you kind of read through the verses, and you'll have another sheet where you'll put them in categories. So just for a preview, it's a stinging, scathing tongue, soothing, sensitive tongue, stupid, slippery tongue, silent, silenced tongue. And then it has a couple of questions at the end. So once you get them in categories, you will go individual on the questions at the end after you discuss a few of the things that you discover through the verses with each other. There's a couple of good questions at the end. And the idea would be to get to the place where you say, all right, all of us have the same problem. Some of us have it in greater measure than others with the tongue. And we all want to change. So we all need to, and repentance is refreshing, the Bible says. It's not this condemning word. It's a word where we move from shedding the old skin, going from the old wineskin to the new wineskin of the Holy Spirit taking over in us. But we don't just say to Holy Spirit, oh, take over, Holy Spirit. And then we don't ever talk to him about the crud that we've done. That's weak. Okay? That's immature. Tell him today, either on the sheet or if you feel led, come up at the end, spend some time encountering him at the altar. You know, it used to be when I was growing up, the altar was the place, oh, that's where you go when you've been bad.
in these days, the altar is where you get more. And I'm not sure we even look at it as an altar. We look at it as coming before God. It's not a place as much as it's a presence that we come into. And you're just drawing that much closer to his presence. Gives you a chance to do that. If you feel so led at the end, it's open. Look how big this area is. It could accommodate all of us and as many chipmunks as want to come in here. Right here in this area. So let's make use of it today. And go through the verses and, you know, read them and so on. But keep that clipping along a little bit. And if you come up with a good thought, share those thoughts briefly. Because it's the end that you really want to get to. And near the end, we'll have a very short video, shorter than this one. Just to lead into a time of being with the Lord. Sound like a good plan? If you have questions, I'm here. Send someone from your group to ask me if you have troubles. So, Carly, have those packets ready. So group up in groups of three. Remember, if someone hasn't done this before and you know it, grab them into your group. Groups of three, ready, go. And we'll...
One thing I want to say that's not about this directly, it's indirectly, before you move. There are a lot of emotions that have been flying and words that have been flying this week and a lot of things because of the issues that we all know about. And on Tuesday, we shared about that. And if anybody wants to have an email clip of the words that framed where we're moving in the area of prayer, just let me know. We're not sending it out as a mass email for Frontline. Some of you already have it from Tuesday. Secondly, there are things in motion also. So our words are very important. This is very important what we're doing today. So the way that we communicate with people outside of this room also is very, very important in this season because there are things that are mounting for us in our regions, in our townships. And we have more things that are going to happen here that involve the community. So this is extremely important for us to take a look at. But if you do want that, let me know. And I'm also going to hand you a piece of paper that says some other things. So, okay, if you're interested.
Say it for the video.
We're never done with this topic. Ever, ever. But I know what you mean. You're done filling out a sheet. Wait, let me write that down. We'll check you out on that. Okay, so 11 million words a year. We want to get at least 10,999,000 of those in line. And then next year, do the whole 11 million. One-fifth of your life is spent speaking. Think how many mistakes can be made. You know, I think pastors are 22 million a year, probably two-fifths of their life. 25,000 to 30,000 words a day. That's a lot of possibilities of speaking out life, or not so much so. So please don't look at this as a school assignment. You know, you can continue to use some of these materials if you want us to print up a sheet for you to go through additionally to learn about the tongue. Not a bad idea. We have office staff on call to do that. If you found other verses, throw them in there, think about them, meditate on them. After the video, we're going to maybe have a comment or two, but not very long, and then you're released to let the Lord speak to your heart even deeper. Now, you go shallow on this, just as a papa in the house, if you go shallow on this, and you kind of laugh it off, like, yeah, well, you know, we weren't even close. I'm not even close to these things. You won't do anything about it. Okay, this needs to be a little bit sober, even though we're having fun with it. Not a problem.
But you need to take this soberly. There are some of us that have problems in this area, and we are admitting it, but we need to do something about it to help the body, because we're supposed to be edifying one another. We're supposed to be building up one another and all that. So just that added encouragement, this can be laughed off, like, oh yeah, the tongue. I read a book on the tongue once, and yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, I know, oh, I've heard these verses. Oh, they're so challenging. But if we don't say, God, here I am, I present myself, as we said at the beginning, go ahead, fillet me, take me apart. Now you can imagine that when I went over these verses coming here today, I've already done some of that. But it spurred me on to do more with this area, to let the Lord cleanse my tongue, tame it, because he's the only one that can, and I want to give him that permission over and over and over again. Not say, well, it says the tongue can't be tamed. We're going to say, God, you tame it. You can tame anything. You can put anything in alignment with heaven. Here I am. So that's the idea. So at the end of the video, we'll release you to do that.
Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water.
We want to give the Lord the permission to put bits into our mouth. We want to give the Lord permission to have be in charge of the small rudder. We want to give the Lord permission to help to empower us to bring fresh water to people's lives. So you see that again, they show the destruction of when the tongue is a fire and it starts out this small little match and burns the whole thing down. We know that there's such a positive thing that can be done with the tongue, and only God can empower that. He's the one that empowers the positive. He's the one that empowers life-giving words. We don't do very well with it on our own. So we go before the Lord. Search us, as I mentioned. Change me, God. Change me. I see it. I see that I'm giving out words of death in some cases. And I do see that I'm giving out words of life. I want to give out more words of life. Empower that in me, God. I repent of these things that I've written down.
and you've brought some more to mind. I repent of that, God. I come before you. I want to change. I want to go in a different direction with my tongue. I want it tamed by you, and I know it can be. And I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to bow down to you. I've called you, Lord, with this tongue from the stage, from the microphone, to other people. But God, I'm not backing up my words. I'm not allowing you to be Lord of my tongue. I put you in charge now, God. And when I fail, I want to repent. I want to keep it up to date. I want to say, God, I want to keep coming back to you. Please forgive me. I shouldn't have said it that way. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have given out that word of death and destruction. I should have given out a word of life there, a word of encouragement. I should have edified. I didn't. Come before and battle through to the words of the Lord, to giving out life. And I'm sure that he will change us, and this body will be tighter, and we'll take more nations, and we'll be right in the middle of the revival, and all of those things, because unless we allow him to put a bit in our mouth and a rudder on our boat and be in charge of both and steering us in this area of the tongue, then it will destroy. We won't be in revival. We'll be in destruction. We won't help people. We'll do just the opposite. And none of us want that. So step up to the plate. Come before God, present yourself, and let him purify our speech, purify our words, make them more edifying as unto the Lord. Again, if you need, we all need, if you want and desire to encounter the Lord a little bit longer here, you can stay in your seat, you can come up here, the whole place is open. We ask that if you are going to talk and fellowship, that you go out into the area beyond the doors so that people can really drink this in, because this is easy just to walk away from. And we don't want to do it today. We just don't want to do it today. We want to address this in each of us. Thank you, Father. You're so good. You're so willing to bring life in us, and this is certainly part of it. And God, if we want to help people, minister to people, go to the nations with something from heaven and not just from us, we need to learn how to speak out life. We need to learn how not to do all the negative things mentioned in many of these verses and do the positive ones instead, to make the choice and then back it up by under your power. Thank you, God. You're so good to discipline your children. I present myself as first to be disciplined, Lord, in this area. And God, I want to be fresh in my repentance with you. I present myself to you first to be corrected. Go ahead, God. Show me deeper where I am offending you in this area, where I'm not pleasing you, Jesus, in this area. That so many of these millions of words that I give out each year would be purified, would be strengthened, would be empowered to be life for people, anointed right from the Father's heart to people. And more change in families and individual lives and strained lives of strangers would happen because I bend my knee to you and say, you're in charge of my tongue. You're Lord of everything. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise for all you're doing in our hearts today, in Jesus' name.
This is very quick. This is related to this. They go together. Can you think of two pieces of a chain, of a link chain link, and they're connecting? What we're doing today is part of our love maturing. And the message that the Lord's been reminding us of in recent weeks, months in this past year, actually, but especially this month, is that I want to take your love that you have for me, and my love is always mature, but the love that you have for me, and I want to bring it into a place of maturity beyond where you've ever had that before. How we get there, we have different avenues and tools that God gives us. The Bible isn't just a tool, but it is the power of God unto salvation, right? The Word of God. And so God is wanting us to take that seriously with the goal of maturing in His love. The week before all this happened around here, we had Ben come, right? And sent out an email saying, hey, if you weren't here, here's some messages to really help grow us up. If you were here, here's some messages to really help grow us up. Maybe you want to watch them again or something. The farther we get from that, the easier it is to just say, yeah, I'm really busy, I'll get to that, whatever. But I think there's some messages in there because of the timeliness of where it fits in the grid of what's happening in our own worlds, in our personal families, but also our family around here. I think most of us sit with people we know and love and talk and just kind of talk about gun control and talk about teachers holding guns and talk about kids committing suicide. I don't think we have little kids in here. Talk about sex trafficking, you know, those kinds of things. I mean, serious stuff that are all on the heart of Jesus. So when I read something from Pastor Benjamin, you know, it's not with, see, it's with, oh, God, there's someone who seems to understand and walk in a mature love. There's somebody we can learn from and release. By the way, March 15th is his final court hearing of the final of the final, and he's asking us to stand with him so everything is completely finished. So we'll talk more about that. But just to end this section here, don't dismiss this, like Pastor Bill said. It's part of what we're doing. And honestly, this week, we're sitting down before the Lord saying, what are you saying about holy clubs as something that we want to embrace to help us see you in more clearly? We want to learn more about how to connect with you and so that we can help others. Like I said to Rach the other day, I said, could you see the 30, 40 girls at the strip club that you guys know about? Could you see them being led our way from a simple act of obedience that some of us have taken? You know, if you were here yesterday, I talked a lot about that. I wasn't really planning on that, but that's how God took what he did in my life yesterday during Freedom Cry. Some of you heard it, some of you didn't. I don't know what to do about that. In the morning, I also talked about this, and I started the day off holding, I think it was in the morning I held this up. But every one of you have seen this. If you look at the newspaper, it says nightmare. Well, if we focus on nightmare, that's just not going to work for us. You know, but I'm like, I like devour stuff. I want to know everything. I do. That's how I am. So I want to know I want to know what's going on. But I want to be able to say, Jesus, here's my tongue that comes out. Even if I'm talking to my own husband, you know, it's going to come from that wellspring inside. And Lord, is my love maturing in you so that if I'm standing on steps hugging parents and kids after they get out of a lockdown, you know, that's what I was telling you guys on Tuesday and talking about that. And then we went into prayer. If you weren't here, if you want, I have it in an email form. It's like God's using us for these kinds of things, guys. It's like, now what? What do we do? You know, Chief Brink, who's been here speaking at Freedom Cry, Jackson Township Police Chief, he's a friend of ours. You know, we're friends. He's not just a speaker. It's like, how can we help? What can we do? What can we say to kids? Maybe they won't commit suicide if they run into us. Maybe we do have that answer, which we do. Like, so that there's a tipping point for us being able to affect change in people. Not just our own lives. So these are really important things so that we are really getting, our words are coming from spending time with God. And that's honestly, to be really frank with you, that's what Holy Clubs is all about. It's not like, okay, Holy Clubs. But why, you know, maybe it's a tool we can use to help people. So this is the basics. You know, I tell PBS, I told him, I said, you know, this reminds me of something we did probably 15 years ago in one of our, you know, many times of encounter at, or 20 years ago, about Gokey Bible study at the time, or Frontline Bible study at our house or whatever. But it's supposed to add to our maturity. And then God's saying, you know what, you've all matured to a certain point. I want to take you even deeper, which is going higher with me. So that's what this is about. How can we be used? How can Dan be used at work? How can Dan be used in his family? How can Tiana be used at FedEx? You know, how can Rachel be used? But how can I be used as a better wife, as well as a more effective pastor, ultimately coming because my love from God to me and how I respond to him is so matured? You know, I mean, the Lord is saying, it's got to be my way. Maybe there'll be a time you hear something and you're just silent, and then you're going, God, what do I say to this? What do you think? It's not what makes sense. And we might vacillate back and forth. So these kinds of things where we walk in the power of the word in the presence of God is going to make a big difference for everything. And people are going to look corporately and go, hey, that guy goes to that church on the hill. They're not so weird as we thought. I mean, we even come there and we go to Freedom Cry there and stuff like that. There's a presence in the community that we all have. And we want to walk in, you know, a presence that the Lord is proud of and pleased, because we might have to go against the goad. Because whatever the majority isn't necessarily what Jesus says. But if we are trained spiritually inside to walk in his love, we can become the influencers for a lot of things that you might think, well, it's never going to go that way. Everybody thinks this way. Well, if we get close to Jesus in this area, especially as our love matures, makes a big, big difference. That if you are standing there and you see this, a nightmare, okay, that you're not responding out of something that's still not settled inside yourself. It's not that we're not going to be like, but it's the truth. You know, so I hope that helps, and to take this time seriously. And if anybody wants to go deeper in the area of humility and faith, I'll be really honest with you, I can't remember where we got this, but I've read it like recently, like 5 times, like, oh my gosh, it's been in my Bible and printed it out. Either I did or somebody else did, and I don't even, it's not mine, because there's a page number here, 19. And maybe one of you at a mission training weekend used it, and I just read it. But it's really good. It's like, wow, it's all about humility for Jesus. So if you want that, you know, come up and you can take it. If not, you don't. So God bless you guys, and be filled with more maturing love this week. Spend time with Jesus, and take these opportunities seriously that he's giving us to say, I've got the solution. I am the solution. Amen. God bless you guys.
So do you really want to say that? You ask yourself. And then when you get to the place of maturity, you start asking other people that. Do you really want to say that? Do you really want to? Like that? Because I don't think I want to listen to that. That's part of this too. And it's challenging for one another. But if, you know, if we don't have it conquered in ourselves, we typically won't stop a person from gossip or slander or whatever, because we don't have it conquered within ourselves, so we just go along with it. We don't feel qualified to ask the question, do you really want to say that to me like that? Do you really want to talk about that person so negatively to me like that? So that's what we're trying to get to, is get to the place of maturity that we can actually help one another, and without offense. Oh yeah, boy, I shouldn't have. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have gone there with that. That was wrong. You know, that's what you'll hear from the other person. But we first have to do it with ourselves, don't we? We have to take that out of our log, out of our own eye, before we will ever want to do that with someone else and help them. Okay, thank you for your kind attention, and for your work in the groups. I was really encouraged just seeing you go over the Word of God, and you know, you can't help. You start sharing about your life with one another and everything. And are we supposed to be doing that? But you are. Good job all the way around. I'm encouraged.